Desperation, the Aftermath. Part 1. Cleansing. Are you sure there's nobody? It's safe? I was sure the last time you asked me to, but then we got captured and... Tuff broke off suddenly. Thinking of the events that had happened not so long ago had sparked the sound of a terrifying yell in her head, one she could not yet stand to hear. Yeah, I'm sure. Unless there's someone in the trees, like last time. The wary warrior cast a doubtful look up and out towards the wall of trees surrounding them. No frown plagued his face, but his eyebrows knitted together with dark thought. Half of him expected to see some sort of ambush waiting for them in the trees, and yet there was nothing. Toph could probably feel his heart pounding away in his chest, regardless of his straight face. His expression didn't matter as much to her as it did to him. No, they were safe here. If not here, where they had spent the entire day walking to, so deep within the wilderness that they would not be able to find a way out if not for his superior direction sense, then nowhere. By his measure, the town where they had been captured and, presumably, safety, was just 2 days' walk from here. How ironic, he thought, that they should return to the place where they had been apprehended in order to find safety. They would begin their walk first thing in the morning, as soon as they woke up. But first things first. Well, we might as well stay here for the night, Sokka announced, dropping one of his heavy bags unceremoniously to the ground. He swayed on his feet, afraid for a moment as his vision spun that he might actually faint from exhaustion. His hands found his hips, and he turned in a slow circle to inspect their feeble camp. As far as he could tell, he could see nothing in the mountainous region for miles, save for more trees than he cared to count, and a number of hot springs, one of which steamed a few feet away. The sun, so much hotter here than at his home, hung low in the reddening sky, its rays casting an amber light across everything from the surrounding trees to Toph's shiny headband. Sokka shuddered slightly. Typical stupid Fire Nation. Stupid bread. Stupid secret holds. "And while we're here, I suppose it wouldn't hurt to utilize one of these convenient hot springs, right?" he asked, turning to Toph with a slight smirk. "I think we could use a good cleaning." The smile on his face flickered as his eyes cast downward at his hands, which still exhibited the remnants of blood from the previous days. Toph answered with a long sigh and raised eyebrows. "I haven't bathed in a month, Sokka. Quite frankly, I'm surprised you haven't fainted from my smell yet." With a small grunt and an even smaller appreciative chuckle, Sokka shrugged his pack from his shoulders, and then, with some reluctance, set his weapons aside on the soft grass. The hilt of his sword clinked forwardingly against his boomerang case. His fingers twitched to his sides. "I can't smell you over my own stench. If I'm fainting, it's not going to be from a little body odor," he replied. Then, as if stricken with some sort of brilliance, he stooped towards his pack and resurfaced a moment later with a small bar in one hand and a cloth in the other. "And look, the psychopath even packed us some soap!" How thoughtful. I wonder if she was trying to imply something. I wonder if it's safe to use. She could have put some sort of weird skin-burning serum in it. Or paint. A small pause followed. Toph sighed. "Well, either way, I need to wash my face, so let's worry about the water first before we even think about soap." For a second, neither of them moved. Sokka stared at where she stood a few feet away with her chin tilted downward toward the ground, her pack heavy and full on her shoulders. It was strange, he thought, that something as simple as bathing could envelop them in such a surreal silence. They were alive. They had a bit of food with them. Safety was lesser concern at the moment. They had suffered for weeks, gone hungry, and had come so close to death that it had seemed inevitable, and they had fought through it together. But something as simple as bathing seemed miles away, even impossible. Sokka wondered if that could be a good thing. The thought crossed his mind to ask, "So what do we do?" He busied himself in a neutral silence that followed by fumbling the knot on his waist. Toph, sensing the motion, discarded her pack beside his and unbuttoned the sash around her hips. Her red and gold vest slipped down her shoulders, leaving her in a yellow undershirt and tan knee-high shorts that had once fit her so much better. Sokka stripped down to his shorts, looked down at his inwardly curved stomach, and sighed. Every little thing was just another reminder of what he had lost and the time that it would take to recover. The first thing Sokka felt upon lowering himself into the water was a most incredible pain. Every cut and burn, shallow or deep, long, short, or zigzagged, let out a scream at being submerged beneath the lazily steaming water. Despite his tight-fisted will to remain silent, he couldn't help but let a sharp hiss break through his clenched teeth, one followed by a sort of strained groan. Alarmed, Toph demanded to know what was wrong, but he waved her comment away with the simple reply that it was just a little tingle. Once the initial searing wore down to a dull throb and finally a lingering sting, the most wonderful and eerie thoughts occurred to him. There was soft, even sand between his toes and the gentlest of breezes on his face and chest. The hot water of the semicircular, somewhat smallish pool sent little swirls of steam dancing all around him. The hot water lapped against his waist, the little ripples eddied lazily away from where he dipped his fingertips into the pool. It felt like being in some strange utopia, minus the sun, the sense of ease, which he was amazed to find had already begun to develop, and the multitude of women. Well, maybe he had all the women he needed right now. Sokka rotated in the pool with his arms still hovering parallel above its surface, his pallid face painted with the shock at the feeling of the water. "How is it?" Toph asked quietly. Sokka let out a long, slow breath and replied, "It's interesting. Come on." He reached out one hand that she could not see, expectant while at the same time maintaining a kind of neutrality in his expression. He wondered if he'd picked up on this attribute during his interrogations. He must have, because he couldn't remember having it beforehand, but it was a little unnerving to discover that he'd added it to his list of daily expressions. Nothingness. Toph crept forward as if she feared that she might drop off the edge of the pool and drown, her brows knitted together in a frown. "Is it deep?" "No," said Sokka, shaking his head. "Take my hand." Toph hesitated before she reached out and found his outstretched fingertips, grasping them lightly in her own. Her hand trembled at his touch, he noticed with a deepening frown. But out of what? Fear? Relief? Exhaustion? It didn't matter so much as she was just alive. Sokka's eyes dropped from her apprehensive expression to the cold hand sitting in his warm one. His skin was pale, but hers was ghostly, though her wrists had not been rubbed raw with the signs of struggle as his were. All the better, he thought, his gentle grip never ceasing as he helped her ease down into the steaming pool. Her initial reaction was much the same as his, the small gasp, the widening eyes. He thought he might have seen tears welling up, but he made no comment. The water came up to his navel, and a little higher on her. Toph was a little hesitant to let go of his hand at first, for fear of drowning or simply being left behind. Sokka, too, found that his hand lingered a little longer over hers before finally pulling away. She sighed and let her hands dip into the water. His makeshift bandage, now saturated, still covered the gash on her arm. If they were to untie it, the effect might be worse than if they just left it there. "Stings," she admitted, gesturing to her forearm. "I can't imagine how you must feel." "Yeah." "Where's the soap and towels? My vision's a little fuzzy with the sand and stuff." "The ground behind you." Toph reached her arms through the steam, took up the bar of soap, and peeled away its thin, waxy covering. She wetted it, scrubbed a dab of the soap into the palm of her hand, and then held the bar over to Sokka's left. He felt a minute smile tick in the corner of his mouth at the sight of her, despite the obvious projection of her ribs under her shirt. A sick humor resided somewhere in their slow-paced motions, their borderline collapse. Sokka dunked his head under the warm water, nearly cried at the feeling of fluid over open cuts, at the sore cleansing of wounds too deep to be restricted to the flesh. The briefest sense of panic washed over him at first, when the water hit the gash on the back of his neck, and he thought that he wouldn't be able to raise his head. His pulse jumped. He opened his mouth and almost inhaled the hot water, and then a hand closed over its upper arm and gave him a mighty jerk upwards. A moment later, he'd resurfaced to the free air, coughing. "What, are you trying to drown yourself?" Toph said, aghast and still clinging to his arm. He hadn't believed before now that her knuckles could turn any whiter. Spluttering, Sokka wiped his eyes. "Sorry, I just slipped." "You slipped? It won't happen again. Here, pass me the soap." Sokka took some of the soap from Toph, scrubbed at his scalp with his fingers, dunked his head under the water just because he could if he braced himself for it. Toph made to grab him a second time, but he reappeared before she had the chance. The flecks of dried blood began to wash away as he rubbed his palms together and over his arms, over his face. Bathing had never been so much of a luxury. Beside him, Toph was exhibiting much of the same reaction. There came the occasional sigh, the sounds of trickling water as she wrung her long black hair through her hands. Soap bubbles collected at the top of the water in small clusters. After a few minutes of scrubbing, Sokka encountered his next obstacle. "Hey, Toph?" She stopped halfway through washing her hair a second time, her hands entangled on top of her head, and turned her face towards him, more for his benefit than hers. A concerned frown tugged in her mouth. "You okay?" "Yeah, I just... Would you help me for a second? I can't reach that one spot in the center of my back. Normally I wouldn't care, but it needs a little work, I'm guessing." "Sure, Sokka." Toph rinsed herself off and shuffled forward across the sandy bottom of the pool to meet him. She stuck out her hand and he placed a bar of soap into the center of her palm, then turned around so she could get to work. The first touch of her hands across his shoulders felt both soft and excruciating. Sokka clenched his teeth together to keep from making sound as his abrasion screamed their objection against soap and water. She was gentle but thorough in her motions, running over the center of his back in small circles with one hand, while the other moved upwards, pushed his hair aside, and cleaned the gash on the back of his neck. "You can breathe, you know," said Toph, after a pause. He hadn't even realized that he'd been holding his breath. "Oh, right. Thanks. I think." Sokka felt that she might have smiled at his last comment, but he didn't turn around to see. He had tensed up already enough between the pain and the sensation of her fingers running up and down his spine, and turning around would likely be no help to the situation. After the soap had been splashed away from his back and shoulders, they spoke again. "We're really lucky." Toph sighed it more than she said it. Sokka nodded, frowning and turning in the water to face her. It could have been a lot worse. Maybe. I don't know what to feel, Toph muttered. Part of me is relieved, I guess, to be out of that horrible place. Part of me can't even believe that any of it even happened now that we're here, but I can still feel it. She ran a hand along the curve of her own waist, lamenting the loss of her healthy figure. And I can tell that we've got a long way to go. Sokka stared down at his fingers, let the sudsy water trickle over his palms and burn his red wrists. Maybe it was the long hours of interrogation that had left him so without response. Maybe it was just concurrence with all that she had said. But he could think of nothing to say, despite that he agreed with her every word. Toph had described uncertainty, and it existed as clearly as the trees around them. But there was also fear, and this is what caused him the most duress. I know what you mean, he breathed, and he did. If nothing else, he understood her fear. When we go back home, nobody's going to understand. A lopsided half-smirk flitted across her face. Katara's probably a wreck. You better believe it. And she's going to want to know everything that happened. Details. I'm just not sure I'm ready to talk about it. Then don't. The smile vanished now. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. Toph and Sokka finished bathing in silence and climbed out of the spring just as darkness began to fall. They would be safer in the dark and felt no fear from it. If anyone stomped into their makeshift camp, their pursuers would be the blind ones. Sokka was curious, too. How much of an edge had being in prison taken off his fighting? And more importantly, how much darker was the something that had taken its place? Time would tell eventually, he figured, but hopefully not tonight. Sokka picked up one of the thin towels that had been gifted to them, dried his face on it, and inhaled through his teeth as his open cuts protested against the air. He tilted his head downward and pressed the cloth against his eyes, his forehead, his mouth. It was almost a relief just to feel the woven cloth. Or at least it was, until he looked down and saw that the cut on his cheek had begun to bleed. He sighed. Just another thing he needed a hand with before the night and exhaustion swallowed them up. There's another towel at your feet, Toph. To your left. She didn't respond right away. The silence eventually prompted Sokka to look up from examining the welt across his chest, at which point he noticed that Toph had turned away from him. Toph? She had begun to tremble. One of her hands found her mouth and stayed there, clamped, to keep any sound from spilling out. She was still drenched from the water, and a gentle steam rose from her skin in the same way it rose from the spring. Sokka felt his chest tighten in that newfound panic. They had not taken his emotion away, after all, at least not the skepticism, the fear, the concern. Not completely. In a swift motion, he'd moved forward, snatched up the forgotten towel, and reached out to touch her arm. Toph, sensing the motion, said, "Don't." His arm fell to his side, but the frown remained in its entirety, right down to the crease between his eyebrows. Sokka took a deep breath in an effort to ease the knot in his chest. It didn't work very well. "Are you okay, Toph?" It was a stupid question, and Toph answered it accordingly as she turned to face him, her hand still clamped over her mouth. "Of course I'm not okay," she snapped through her fingers, clenching her eyes shut to squeeze out a pair of stubborn tears. "And neither are you!" "Toph," Sokka faltered at the helplessness in her voice, so uncharacteristic of what she once was. Imagine the famous blind bandit, shaking and dripping and half-naked, completely vulnerable in her grief. He found himself without a comeback. Instead, Sokka opened the fresh towel in his hands, draped it around her shoulders as one might don a cape, and pulled her into the tightest hug that he could accomplish while running on empty for energy. "It's over," he murmured, and was neither surprised nor ashamed to hear a similar waver in his own voice. His knees shook with fatigue, but he fought the creeping sensation that he would pass out so as to maintain the embrace. Her stifled, choked sobs resonating in his loud ear. "I can feel your heartbeat, Sokka. It's so fast and shallow, all the time. And so's mine. I can feel the marks all over you. What's happened to us?" Sokka shook his head in reply. She felt so small and frail in his hands, her grip around his waist so weak. But it was there. Spirits, it was there, and neither of them had intended to complain about it, because they both knew it to be true. If just a few more days had passed, well, he didn't want to think about it. For now he would push it to the side and take solace in that neither of them would have to go up alone. They would sink to their knees in this clearing, with their arms wrapped around each other and tears drying on their faces, and that was perfectly fine. Later on, he might reflect on the intimacy of the moment and feel a blush creep up his neck at the thought of her fingers clutching his sides. But not tonight. Recovery first.